Support for State Week comes from the following sponsors: PI.org, the Illinois Education Association, and Visit Springfield.
From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
We did it! Tonight we showed what's possible when you listen to the people and give the people what they want.
That's Juliana Stratton, victorious in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate this week. We will talk about the primary election results coming up on State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield. Our panel includes Charlie Wheeler, professor emeritus and former director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. And Charlie's also been a longtime reporter and observer. And our guest this week, good to have back on the show, Rick Pearson, chief political writer for the Chicago Tribune. Rick, glad to have you back with us.
Always great to talk to you guys.
So, Rick, I'm going to start with the U.S. Senate race. So we heard Juliana Stratton there, the lieutenant governor. She won, and that's the Democratic side. This is a seat to replace Dick Durbin, who is retiring at the end of his term. A few months ago, I got to say, this appeared to be Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy's race to lose. Polling had him up. He'd been on TV much longer with a lot of advertising. So what happened here that turned this around?
Well, a couple of things. One, Krishnamoorthy certainly by far as an individual candidate spent the most money in this contest, which basically came down to Lieutenant Governor Juliana Stratton and Congresswoman Robin Kelly from the South Suburbs. Krishnamoorthy had spent, you know, a decade in Congress amassing a war chest for this run. So when you're looking at spending about $30 million here. And so in last July, he was the first one on TV with ads and continued with ads throughout the campaign. But he had the airwaves to himself. It was, I mean, a perfectly acceptable campaign strategy. He's a congressman from northwest suburbs of Chicago. Most people don't know who their congressman is. He's running for statewide office. A great way to introduce yourselves. And of course, the old strategy, define yourself before your opponent defines you. The thing is, who was paying any attention really to politics last summer? And so while it was kind of maybe a soft rollout or whatever, you know, things start to get heated up after the turn of the year. That's the timing when J.B. Pritzker threw $5 million into a political action committee to assist Stratton. She was able to start her TV, or that PAC started her TV advertising strategy. And invariably, the race is always going to tighten. So, I mean, you had those kind of issues flowing in her direction as we got closer and closer to Election Day, where Krishnamoorthy kind of plateaued. Yes, he had some poll numbers before to show and raise even more money, but his support level just kind of plateaued. In the meantime, Stratton had the same issues of introducing who she was, because let's face it, most people don't know who the lieutenant governor was, but she also had that time to build that public relationship she had with J.B. Pritzker. And so this was a big victory, not only for Juliana Stratton, but an important one for J.B. Pritzker.
Well, and we can talk about that in a bit. I did think that also that Stratton seemed to really go on the attack after the first of the year, not just attacking Krishnamoorthy, although there was some of this of that, you know, that he was somehow taking money from people who had contracts with ICE. There was that. And then also she put out this infamous ad that was couldn't air on most stations, but it was basically saying F Trump, and had all these people sing it. I don't believe she said it in the ad. Other people said it, but that seemed to be effective as well. Does that seem to be the case?
Well, it certainly grabs attention, and that was the first reaction when I saw it. And it wasn't clear if they were going to bleep the word or not. And as she features various people saying this, including Tammy Duckworth, she goes, "Well, they're saying it, I'm not." Well, come on, get over that. I mean, but she definitely wanted to play to a more progressive lane in this contest, and that was a big strategy. And the other part of this too, which it was the outside money, which surfaced not only just in this U.S. Senate race, but also in congressional campaigns. And that was the money that basically tried to play the negative card as much as and then Stratton joined in with her PAC to do the same thing.
And Charlie, I mean, it's not surprising we saw so much money here because spent in this race, because these seats, once somebody's in, especially an incumbent, they can hang on to them for a long time. Look at Dick Durbin, how long he's been in the Senate now, for about 30 years. That basically, I mean, this. I look at these, I always think this nowadays as I get older and I buy something. This may be the last thing, the last one of these I ever buy, the last bed I ever buy, the last car I ever buy. Same thing for Senate. I may not see another person in this seat in my lifetime. You never know. She could stay in a long time.
Yeah, and that's kind of the history of senators in Illinois. One of the things that interested me was, as Rick mentioned, as you mentioned, Krishnamoorthy was on the air, it seemed like forever. I think he started back, what, in July? And he kind of blanketed the airwaves. And yet after months of that, you looked at the polling and he was ahead, but his plateau was about 40%. And there were a large number of undecideds. And I'm thinking to myself, if he spent all that money and people are still undecided, that really suggests that there's an opening there for Stratton, which in fact is what occurred. And I know some people complained that Stratton's campaign team waited too long to start their advertising blitz. And I guess in retrospect, they played it pretty darn well.
Rick, what about Robin Kelly? I mean, I thought she would be a very strong candidate in this race, and she finished third, but it was a distant third. She's been in Congress a long time. She was the party chair for Democrats in the state. What happened to her? She never got the traction, it seemed.
Yeah, and I mean, she's a very diligent congresswoman. She's been a big gun control advocate for years, but her campaign just never got started, and she did not raise much money. For a time, she had raised more money than Juliana Stratton, but that was before the Pritzker PAC kicked in. I would say in a couple of debates, she won just because she stayed out of the back and forth between Stratton and Krishnamoorthy. Her campaign just never gained any traction. She didn't have enough money to run any kind of sustained TV ad campaign. And it just never ended up going anywhere. And the bulk of her support was basically in her congressional district.
Hmm. Charlie, I know last couple of weeks, we've talked about the possibility of some people in the party not being happy with how things went. Maybe that Pritzker getting too involved in certain races, or maybe some hard feelings, party unity could be strained. Do you foresee any of that happening?
Oh, I think there'll be some hard feelings maybe going forward, but I would suspect that the Democrats are going to kind of rally around, if for no other reason, the distaste they have for President Trump and for all the MAGA folks. So they'll kind of patch things over and work together to win big in November, and then maybe they'll fight about stuff after that. So I think one of the concerns that was voiced was Stratton and Kelly are both Black women. Krishnamoorthy is a white gentleman of Asian American descent. And the argument was that because there were two Black women in the race, they would divide the Black vote and Krishnamoorthy would come in and there would be a lot of hard feelings because of the way things turned out. I don't think that's going to be a problem going forward. Rick, you follow this more closely than I.
Well, I mean, he did have the Congressional Black Caucus raise concerns about Pritzker's involvement. And of course, that's kind of something you would expect because Robin Kelly being a member of that caucus, and that's what those caucuses in D.C. do, is support their own members. And there's, you know, talk about, you know, if Pritzker wants to, you know, be president someday, wants to, you know, he's going to have to deal with us. I think that will all be water under the bridge very soon. I mean, Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, an iconic a black congressman said that, you know, if Pritzker wants to campaign in South Carolina, he's certainly welcome to, and he would welcome to the state. You know, Pritzker, as I said, this was an important win for him on the national front, and to show just how far his power and his money goes in this state, as well as the fact that, you know, even before he was governor, he was a big Democratic donor to a variety of races and causes across the nation. So, I mean, there is definitely money does talk, and especially talks in this kind of politics.
And speaking of money, another group that got a lot of attention during this campaign has been this group, AIPAC. Explain what that is. Not everybody follows that, and, you know, they may not realize what's happening here. What's that all about?
Well, AIPAC in its earlier days was not actually even much of a political entity. It was just a more of a pro-Israel committee. And in recent cycles, and I would say with the rise of Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, that it has turned itself into a more right-wing PAC that's so far pro-Israel. And of course, you have all of this occurring after the Hamas attack in Israel, which resulted in Netanyahu attacking Palestinians and trying to wipe out Gaza. And that has, the humanitarian issues there among Democrats have really, you know, there was a time when everybody, you know, of course, support pro-Israel, they're an important ally. But since with Netanyahu's rise, with Trump and Israel doing joint U.S. military strikes in Iran, you know, there's a lot of questions and a lot of fallout among Democrats for AIPAC. And AIPAC looking for allies in these congressional races in the Chicago area, certainly the Democrats going to win, and they're trying to support someone who will at least listen to their cause, although it became a badge of honor for a number of candidates who said, you know, I'm not going to take any AIPAC money. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to sit down with them. Mm-hmm. And that was the case most certainly in the 9th Congressional District, which was a race between Evanston mayor and former state lawmaker Daniel Biss, who won that race. His chief opponent was a young, I guess you would say, TikTok influencer who basically had parachuted into the district even before Jan Schakowsky decided she was going to retire. And she's of Palestinian descent. And AIPAC weighed in heavily to try to battle both of those two, but was unsuccessful.
You're listening to State Week. I'm Sean Crawford in Springfield, along with Charlie Wheeler and Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We'll have more in a moment.
Support for State Week comes from PIORG, a nonprofit consulting firm providing resources for strategic planning, best practice implementation, and outcomes-focused program evaluation across the country, helping organizations make data understandable and actionable, enabling change makers to strengthen critical skills and serve others more effectively. PI, Plan, Implement, Evaluate. Services and information at PIORG.org.
We're back on State Week and Republicans. Let's turn our attention to them. There was a U.S. Senate primary for that nomination, and it went to Don Tracy, former Illinois Republican Party chair and attorney from Springfield. He outlasted his challengers. Now, Don Tracy, I've talked to him before. I think he could have appeal to some voters, but he has a couple of big obstacles. He's a Republican running in a blue state, and J.B. Pritzker has shown he will spend money. J.B. Pritzker could give more money to Juliana Stratton, certainly for the general election. So Don Tracy wins, but a lot of work ahead for him, right, Rick?
It's a very, very tall climb for him, an extremely tall climb for him. Where the votes are not the places where there's support for Donald Trump. He will have to wear the issue of Trump around his neck as he campaigns. He doesn't have much money, and I don't expect that he'll get a lot of money. So really, those of us who know Springfield know Don Tracy. or those of us who know party politics know Don Tracy, but nobody else knows him and nobody else is going to know him. The hurdles are very, very big for this to be a truly a competitive Senate race. I should also say, too, that in his Senate campaign, running against, again, a bunch of nobodies, his focus really appeared to be on state issues and state taxes and things like that, not something that we're really are subject to issues that the federal government has to deal with. So, yeah, it's just going to be very difficult for him.
And his challenges, Charlie, are very similar to what Darren Bailey's going to be facing as well. Darren Bailey may be a little bit better known. He won the gubernatorial primary for Republicans this time, as he did back in 2022, when he ended up losing by a pretty good margin to J.B. Pritzker. But he's also running in a blue state against a much better funded candidate, really infinite amount of money there for J.B. Pritzker to spend in this race. You know, Bailey and Tracy, very similar.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult for either of them to really be competitive. And it gets back, I think, to the money. The fact that Pritzker has all the money in the world to use for himself, and he will also be using whatever is needed in the Senate race for Juliana Stratton. On the other hand, all the Republican mega donors have kind of split. The people that were big contributors, people like Ken Griffin, the Uline family.
Dick Uline, yes.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Ulines backed somebody else other than Bailey.
Yeah. And well, if you remember 4 years ago, this was basically a battle of a Ken Griffin Citadel-backed candidate with $50 million who came nowhere close to winning the primary. And then you had Uline, the mega conservative donor of Uline office supply, a national Uber donor for conservative causes. He basically came in with tens of millions of dollars on behalf of Bailey. This time around, Uline threw a token, $250,000, at Ted Dabrowski, and obviously that went nowhere.
And Ted Dabrowski, from the things I had seen online from a lot of folks who supported him, basically were saying he had a better shot to run against J.B. Pritzker. They felt as though he could make some more arguments that Bailey may not be able to do as well. And of course, Bailey has already lost once before. Is there any reason, Rick, to think this won't be a replay of the last time when it comes to the result?
I really think it's going to be, you know, this is, voters can be excused for deja vu. I mean, there's a couple of factors here. In this primary, and now we're still, of course, counting mail-in ballots and whatever. But when you look at the Republican primary results and total up the votes for the Republican candidates for governor of those four, it's roughly a couple hundred thousand less than when Bailey won 4 years ago, which tells me an awful lot about what kind of Republican enthusiasm there is out there, because this is primary voters. This is supposed to be the base. Well, the base of the GOP just fell by 200,000 plus votes. So now let's take that into November. If that's your base number, how do you grow it? And of course, we have Bailey saying this is Darren Bailey 2.0. Chicago isn't a hellhole. Chicago's a great city. You know, people are used to my accent now, those kinds of things. but it's still the same Darren Bailey, and he still has those same beliefs. And he wants to steer away from his views in opposition to abortion, his views in opposition to gay and transgender rights. He wants to stay away from social issues and talk about property taxes and those kinds of things, which is all well and good. But when your fundamental beliefs are still that of Darren Bailey of 4 years ago, that don't change. Mm. And you're just going to basically see probably, and it kind of already started, a rerun of the same advertising that J.B. Pritzker ran, including ones that helped him get the nomination 4 years ago, where Darren Bailey is too extreme for Illinois.
And Charlie, it's not as though people in the state, Democrats and Republicans, wouldn't vote for somebody from downstate Illinois, especially in the governor's race. I mean, Jim Edgar is a good example of that. He had an accent, too, when you listen to Jim Edgar talk. But this is a different thing. And it's coming on the heels of all of this ICE activity in Chicago, which has really proven unpopular with a lot of the voters up there. So Bailey, you know, he is facing some strong headwinds.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the primary, there were maybe twice as many Democratic votes cast than Republicans. And that suggests, as Rick was saying, that the base is not very enthused. Bailey ran well in downstate areas, but unfortunately, that's not where the population is. He did not do very well in the Chicago area. I think Dombrowski won the collar counties.
No, he did not. That's what Dabrowski's people would like you to think. And that was one of their sales pitches, was that Dabrowski's a professional versus Bailey the farmer. But the fact is, yes, he did win in Cook. He did win in DuPage. He lost in Will. I mean, I'm talking about Dabrowski. He lost in Will. He lost in Kane. He lost in McHenry. And I think Lake County was very close. So, yeah, the vote does travel through the suburbs. But Dabrowski, as I said in one story, was like the life insurance salesman who comes to your door and he's trying to sell you a policy by showing you actuarial tables. I mean, no charisma, no enthusiasm, cherry-picked facts. You know, it was just that campaign was dead from the get-go.
You're listening to State Week. We'll have more in just a moment.
Support for State Week comes from the members of the Illinois Education Association, serving 135,000 members of educators and support professionals around Illinois. IEA's mission is to promote excellence and equity in public education. When schools and communities unite, we all win. Resources and membership information at ieanea.org.
Well, also, the comptroller's race was decided this week. That was a close contest. In fact, it wasn't called until Thursday, but Margaret Croak, a state lawmaker from the Chicago area, she has defeated three other candidates. They're all with some legislative experience. Rick, just a quick overview of that one.
Well, Croak was, again, a Pritzker-backed candidate. She had served and worked closely with him before. There was some concerns about, does that closeness necessarily violate, not violate a law, but violate kind of a tenet of that office of being independent, as Susana Mendoza, the incumbent who chose not to seek re-election, that was kind of viewed as a hallmark of that office. But Croak was able to run commercials touting Pritzker support and was able to win over three other challengers.
And Charlie, these are people that don't have, we talked about Juliana Stratton not being that well known. She's been on a statewide ticket twice before, and so it seems to me that the money probably was just enough to put Croak over the top.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Croak got almost 40% of the vote in Cook County, which has the largest population of Democratic voters in the state. Lilla did best in the west suburban counties that include part of her Senate district, and she wound up with roughly 32% of the vote. And Holly Kim, who's a Lake County treasurer, she came in third with about a quarter of the votes, and she had been endorsed by Susana Mendoza. And then State Rep Stephanie Kifowit from Oswego did not do very well at all anywhere, and she got roughly 9% of the vote. So it was interesting, too, because election night, Croak claimed victory at a time when Villa was saying, no, we have to wait because there's still a lot of votes to be counted. And the split on election night was roughly 27,000 votes in favor of Croak. And in the most recent things, that's still about what the margin is. So the indications were already there. Villa did not want to concede, but sort of the handwriting was on the wall. And again, I think this was an area where J.B. Pritzker's influence played a major role.
Also, let me do a quick recap of some congressional primaries. Also, LaShawn Ford winning. That was in the, he's running for the seat that Danny Davis will be leaving. Also, Melissa Bean making a comeback, former Congresswoman. Jesse Jackson Jr.'s attempt to win failed. And we mentioned Daniel Biss winning in a tight race for Jan Schakowsky's seat. An interesting result in the Illinois House, Noreen Hammond, the number two House Republican lawmaker. She lost a primary to a candidate who had backing from the more conservative Illinois Freedom Caucus. What does that tell us?
Well, it raises some serious questions. The Illinois Freedom Caucus has been kind of the gang that can't shoot straight, and it has been one that most people in Springfield, quite frankly, don't pay any attention to. But they helped shoot down a top deputy of Tony McCombie, the House Republican leader. And this could raise some serious questions about what is the future of McCombie's tenure as leader of that caucus.
Noreen Hammond from Macomb in Western Illinois. Josh Higgins was the winner of that race. Time now for our notes from the field. Charlie, let's go to you first this week.
Well, there were a number of state senators who were running for higher office. We've already mentioned Karina Villa, who was running for comptroller and lost. Also running for Congress were Laura Fine, who we already mentioned lost in the 9th District, Mike Simmons, Robert Peters, Willie Preston were also seeking congressional seats, and they all lost. So you have five sitting senators who ran for something else. Kind of an interesting angle is that for four of them, it really doesn't make any difference in terms of what their plans are going to be for the next 2 years. And that's because they were in the middle of four-year terms. The only one who wasn't was Laura Fine, Democrat from Glenview. And come next January, she will be out of the legislature, whereas the other four will still continue for the second 2 years of their four-year term.
All right. And Rick.
Kind of an interesting fact about Lieutenant Governor Stratton's campaign for the U.S. Senate. The previous two sitting lieutenant governors who ran, Republicans, Dave O'Neill, who had quit the post in 1981 under Jim Thompson, saying he was bored and saying that a person of average intelligence could learn the job in a week. O'Neill lost to Alan Dixon in 1980 for the U.S. Senate. Then you had Bob Custer, who sought to leave as Jim Edgar's deputy in 1994 to be a talk show host. But when Edgar developed some heart problems, Custer decided to stay. Custer was upset in the 1996 GOP primary by Al Salvi. Salvi's wife is now the state GOP chairman, by the way. But Salvi went on to lose that general election contest to this guy named Dick Durbin.
Interesting timeline there when you look back at it. That's all the time we have for this episode of State Week. Our panel included Charlie Wheeler and the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson. Look for State Week where you get your podcasts through the NPR app and at nprillinois.org. I'm Sean Crawford. Join us next time.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station NPR Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.
Support for State Week comes from Visit Springfield, featuring dozens of attractions and overnights on Route 66 in the capital city. Springfield is home to numerous Lincoln sites, Frank Lloyd Wright's Dana Thomas House, the Illinois State Capitol, and more. The Visit Springfield team can help organizers plan their event in the capital city. Attractions and tourism information at visitspringfieldillinois.com.